Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Living with grief, that's my topic. The world just witnessed an experience that involved millions and millions of people around the world. And that was the recent, untimely, and unexpected death of Kobe Bryant, one of the world's greatest basketball players of all time. Untimely, unexpected, unwanted death. But yet the reality of death came not to just the family, but it came to the world. Now, most of us have never met Kobe Bryant. I have not met him personally. I did have the privilege of watching him play a basketball game up close. I happened to have a seat in the front row, and I sat just several feet behind the bench where Kobe Bryant sat. And I watched him watch other players play. I watched him come and go as he played. I watched him interact with the coach. I watched him interact with people around him. And it was a very positive experience. A very gentle, a very kind, a very gracious young man. In other words, he impressed me. Gave me a positive experience of the greatness of a basketball player. Sometimes we have the image of people who are great or arrogant and distant in their relationships. But he was warm. He was kind. He was gracious. He had a nice smile. But unfortunately, within the last couple weeks, the world has grieved his absence. Helicopter accident. Not only Kobe, but his daughter as well, Gigi. Leaving the wife and the other children in the family to live life alone. Not only the Bryant family, but there were seven other families affected. Because there were children from other families on that flight as well that died. Now, they have not gotten the public attention that Kobe Bryant got and that his wife, Vanessa, got after the death. Perhaps that's unfortunate, but that's the way the world is. We focus on the famous. But you see, even in this death, there are some lessons for us. There are some observations for us that we need to consider. And obviously, it's important to know death comes to all. Whether we be rich or poor, or whether we be famous or infamous. However, you see, death comes to all. It comes usually at an unexpected time. There was no reason to believe that this accident would have occurred and that these deaths would have occurred. There was no indication. There was no prediction. There was no pattern of behavior suggesting that this kind of outcome was about to happen. An unexpectedness of this death. And that's something we all need to experience, the unexpectedness of death. And obviously, when it's unexpected, one has to ask the question, are you prepared? Are you prepared for the unexpected? Because after that, it's hard to be prepared. You have to be prepared for the unexpected. I talked to a young lady the other day, and she had witnessed another accident that happened. She was driving down the freeway, and a motorcycle came by her car and flipped, and the rider skidded down the freeway and landed under a car that was moving and then ran over him. And this motorcyclist ended up underneath this car, having been run over by not only that car, but skidded down the highway multiple hundreds of feet. She got out of her car to be of assistance. She didn't know what to do. She crawled under the car herself and laid next to this man and noticed that he was probably living his last moments of life. She felt helpless. She tells a story about how helpless she was. And she could only say one thing to this man as he kind of looked at her with his gazy eye. She says, "Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus?" And with that, she removed herself from underneath the car. As the emergency crew came and removed him and took him to the hospital, she learned a few hours later that he had died on the way to the hospital. Probably with that thought ringing in his ear, did he know Jesus? It's kind of the preparedness, you see, for death. Now, whether Kobe and this family were prepared in that way, we don't know. But they were not expecting the death at the time. Now, in the midst of all this grief, another observation is very important. And that is, Vanessa was gracious enough to understand and to realize that the world was grieving, that the basketball world was grieving. So she arranged for this memorial to be held at the stadium that Kobe played in multiple hundreds of times and he was known for, and that people would come to this stadium to watch him play a game of basketball. So she arranged for this funeral memorial service to be held in that stadium, and it was packed out with people who admired him, who believed in him, who thought of him as the model of life for them, as an example for living for them, and as a model of basketball playing, an admiration for basketball. That was gracious of Vanessa to share her grief at a time of heightened grief with the world, and allow the world to grieve with her, and allow the world to have a place to grieve and to come together and to experience the grief of a loss of a very important man in their life. You know, when we lose people in our life that are important to us, we become depressed. That's part of grief. Sometimes that lasts days, weeks, months. But out of that depression comes life. Out of that depression comes hope. Out of that depression comes new life. And that's the recovery process. It takes time. Vanessa is still in her grieving process. The children are still in their grieving process, as well as the other family members from the other families. Grief takes time. Grief takes a process. Grief takes people to support. And she was wise to not only allow other people to express their grief and have a place to come and grieve, but to share their grief with her, and that she shared her grief with them. That's a healthy way of grieving. One of the things that she said as part of this grieving process, that she had to remain strong for her three surviving daughters. Now, yes, mothers do need to remain strong for their daughters after a tragic event such as this. But what does that mean, to remain strong? Does that mean that you don't grieve? That it doesn't mean you do not share experiences of grief and sorrow and sadness? Does it mean you don't cry? That it means you don't weep? No. Remaining strong is that you do grieve, and you grieve openly, and you grieve publicly, and you grieve with people you love, and you grieve with people in your family. You grieve with people who love you, who admire you. Grieving is a public experience. Sure, there's moments of private grieving, but it's also a time of public grieving. To allow others to grieve and to share your grief with others and learn from that. That's what a strong person does. That's what a strong mother does, is to not only grieve herself so that she can process the loss, but to encourage and to help the three daughters grieve for their loss and that they come out of it strong. That's what strong mothers do. It's not a place to stop. It's a place and a time to restart for yourself and for your daughters. So that again, in the future, whether that be days or weeks or months or whatever, one can feel normal again. One can move forward again. And one can move with honor once again. And that's what Vanessa obviously wants to do and probably will do. To live a life in the future that will honor Kobe. That will honor the people who honored Kobe. That loved Kobe. That respected him and used him as a model of their life. Kobe is not dead. He lives through Vanessa. He lives through the three daughters that remain. He lives through the lives of the people who knew him and people who were close to him and people who were part of his life. He lives on in the memories and in the memorabilia of basketball. He'll always be a man with a message. And we'll all take our own message. There's not one message. There's a message that each of us will come to and learn about and honor and revere and to think about and to remember, and to remember Kobe by. The question that you have to answer: what do you remember of him? How has he affected your life? How will he affect your life? How will you be a stronger person in the light of this particular accident, this particular death, this particular life that came to a sad ending? See, we all have to answer these kind of questions. So it's a celebration of life. Vanessa arranged for a celebration of life at the stadium. It's now been held. And now what we are doing, we're coming to a point where you have to now celebrate life in your way. Of a man that was important to you, perhaps. Or a man that was known to you, perhaps. But certainly a man that was known to the world over. That he lived and he died. And in between that is that what we call the dash years. From the time that you're born to the time that you die, there's a dash in between. How you live those dash years are extremely important. He lived them successfully through the means of basketball. The question is, how will you and how are you living your dash years? And when the end of the time comes for you, will there be a celebration of life, and will you have a message for the world? Will you leave a message behind for the world? Will you help the world capture your life and capture the message of your life and capture the ethos of your life? Will the world be better, not only with you and because of you, but even be better at the time of your own death? Will you have a legacy? Will you have a means of making the world stronger at your death? Will you have a means of making the world having a more meaningful message because of the way that you lived and the message that you left behind in your legacy? That's Kobe Bryant, living with grief. That's Vanessa and the three children and the world, and particularly the other families that were involved in this particular accident and lost their daughters. It's a time of grief. It's a time of sadness. But it's a time of reflection, and it's a time for you to say, what if it were me? How would the world be affected? What would be the celebration of life look like if it were me? How would my family, how would my spouse create a message of celebration of life? What would be said? What would be the point of it? What would be the message of it? What would be the long-standing theme that you want the world to live on and to remember you by? What is the message? That's what it's for all of us. It's not our grief. It's not our death. It's a legacy we leave. It's the message we leave. It's the message of impact. It's the message of importance that we leave upon the life of others, not only in our own family, extended family, our community, our neighborhood, our church, our clubs, but the world that come to know us and have known us and will know us in the years ahead. Think about it, okay? Bye for now.